The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Live from Bar Canada at the D here, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke as the baseball home stretch. We love football so much. There are days that we do this, Mondays and Fridays specifically, where we almost don't, Mondays we don't at all, right? But Fridays we barely talk about baseball too. Baseball is so awesome right now with these races down the stretch, particularly the National League for that final wild card spot. We'll talk to Jason about that. The Giants currently inhabiting the number three wild card position after the Reds, Marlins, and D-backs all lost yesterday. Giants got rained out. Split doubleheader tomorrow to make up for it.
Baseball still has a TV problem, though.
Like, they have a tremendous TV
problem. You're an average fan, like I am, I'm very much an average MLB fan. So
you're a sub-average. You're a below replacement level
probably,
MLB
yes.
fan.
So that what that translates to is a couple times a week, I think to myself, you know what? Let me throw on a baseball game right now.
Yeah.
And then I spend 5 minutes trying to find one, and I can't even find one to watch. And I have all the apps and everything, and I can't even find it.
It's horrible.
And then I just get frustrated and give up.
We've talked about this before. We are in some ridiculous blackout rules place here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that doesn't
there are six clubs that we don't get to watch on a regular basis because of this.
It's incredible.
If I want to watch the Dodgers or Diamondbacks.
We get the Angels and the Diamondbacks. I thought we got the Diamondbacks.
The Diamondbacks, I'm watching on some regional network, just like I am the Giants every day. But if I want to watch the Dodgers,
yeah,
I got to roll up to the sports book
right.
every day. Because, you know, God forbid MLB doesn't punish me for not attending games at Chavez Ravine from here in Las Vegas.
I've worked in TV for 15 years. I'll never understand blackout rules. I seriously don't. I don't get it.
The theory of them being we want to incentivize fans to buy tickets to the games.
Yeah, but that's only been on the decline over the past, four decades?
Of course.
I mean, ever since the television was invented?
That's the original logic of them. By the way, I mentioned earlier, we mentioned that tweet from Sam Monson at Pro Football Focus where Justin Jefferson at age 24 has more receiving yards than any Chicago Bear receiver ever in the history, the 100-plus year history of the Chicago Bears. Any guesses, Kelly, as to who is the leading receiver in the history of the Chicago Bears?
Oh, my God.
This list, no idea. This list is horrific.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey is third all time.
Oh, my gosh, that was close.
He is third all time.
I have no idea.
You would never get this. I wouldn't either. 1954, Harlan Hill. Who could forget that? He's number two. And Johnny Morris, 1958 to 1967. He's the leading receiver in the history of the Chicago Bears.
Who could forget
Walter Payton's four, just to give you an example.
Really?
Yeah. Not exactly known... primarily for his receiving, I should say. Dr. Bob is here, everybody. His name is Bob Stoll. You can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports. drbobsports.com is the website. He is a pioneer, even though he does not like that term. He is a pioneer, nonetheless, in using predictive algorithms to predict the outcome of sporting events. He was a stats major at Cal. That's where he got the brainstorm to do this, and it became his life's journey. How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right, Gil. I'm not sure everyone's super excited to have me on. I was 0-3 last week now on your show. I wasn't 0-3 overall. I had a good week, decent week overall, actually. Every game I didn't release on your show did pretty well. But some bad luck on a couple of plays I released here. And need to pick it up is what I need. Here's what happens. They call it gambling for a reason, Gil. I had the Boise State Central Florida over. The teams combined for 914 yards, 7.0 yards per play. And somehow only totaled like 30 points or something. And New England, Philly, New England outgained Philly by a ton and outgained them on a yards per play basis and failed to cover by the hook.
So yeah.
That's why they call it gambling.
That's why they call it gambling. I want to ask you about two things before you give us your picks. By the way, people are always excited to hear you, Bob, because this audience knows.
All right.
This audience is good at overcoming negative variance. That's right.
I hope so.
One, your alma mater, Cal. I had a bet on that game late Saturday night. There was a quarterback substitution in the middle that looked like it was just going to absolutely be a boon for Cal. It was one of these games where they just could never get it done. How, you know, when you see a personnel change like that, one of your strengths, and I talk about this with you in basketball especially, I would say your greatest strength, you may agree or disagree, is you're able to really assess the value of individual players. Is that a big boost for a team like Cal as you assess them now as they go to, you know, as they change quarterbacks like that?
I don't think Sam Jackson is that much better than Finley throwing the ball. The only thing Jackson adds is some running ability. And he ran a few times, and he generally is considered a better runner than Finley. But, you know, Jackson started the opener against North Texas, got hurt early after four passes. He was 3 of 4 in that opener. And then Finley came in and led the Bears to 58 points. I mean, it's, you know, I don't think there's much of a difference in the passing scheme. I would add a little bit for Jackson, you know, running the ball. But he was the original starter. He won the job in a close race to begin with. So, you know, and obviously they believed in Finley enough to start him, even though Jackson was healthy enough to play. So I think in that case, I don't think there's much of a difference between the two quarterbacks.
Okay. My eyes then deceived me, by the way, Cal losing to Auburn.
Jackson looked better against Auburn.
Yeah, he did look better.
We need his new field goal kicker.
Yes. Yes, you do. Auburn beats Cal in a real barn burner, 14-10 late Saturday night. Okay. Colorado State. What do your numbers say this line ought to be?
24. But I do have a play on the over. Ooh. That I just released to clients right before I came on.
Okay.
So Colorado, I mean, their offense is for real. I mean, Shedeur Sanders was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school. He went to Jackson State with his father. He was super efficient at Jackson State. People thought, oh, well, that may not translate. But he was a 4-star recruit coming out. He's not a scrub. I mean, he's like, oh, he came from Jackson State. Oh, he's playing because his daddy's a coach. No. I mean, this guy is a legitimate talent. And, you know, they get Horn and Weaver from South Florida in the transfer portal. Great receivers. They had a couple more transfer receivers that are talented. So the skill is there for the passing game to be really good. And they have good running backs. They just don't have a great offensive line. So the passing game is real. He's completed 77.5% of his passes, 903 yards in two games, 8.2 yards per pass play. TCU and Nebraska are better than average defenses. TCU didn't look like it in the first game, but they are better than average defense. And Nebraska certainly is a better than average defense. And he is lighting them up. Now they play Colorado State. Colorado State has a good run defense. They had a good run defense last year. They shut down Washington State's run game, but they cannot stop the pass at all. They're horrible against the pass. And against the Cougars in their opener, they gave up 449 pass yards at 8.5 yards per pass play. Colorado throws it 65% of the time. I mean, they're gonna throw it and throw it and throw it. And I guess you've heard the comments, you know, that Sanders taking it personally.
Yes.
Because Jay Norvell made a comment about what he wears at press conferences or something.
Like, yeah, the quote.
Light in the flame here.
The quote is, I don't care if they hear this in Boulder. I told them I took my hat off and I took my glasses off. I said, when I talk to grownups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught me. And I did want to ask you about that. I'm glad you bring it up because you are a numbers guy. You take great pride in, you know, here's my model. I'm going with the raw data of this. But something like that, it has to seep into your thoughts, right? Like you have to add that to what you're thinking.
Yeah, you know, in a case like this, I think there was motivation anyway, because a team that was so bad the previous year that is still feeling like they have to prove themselves tends to be good as a big favorite anyway, because they're not letting up for anyone. You know, and game day is going to be there. So I think the excitement was there anyway. But it might be a case like, you know, late in the game, Colorado's got the ball.
Yeah.
And you know, instead of sitting on it, they throw an extra touchdown at him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, which might help my over. You know, and it might help you if you're on the Colorado side, but I don't think there's any value at -24.5. But it can't hurt, you know, if you're backing Colorado, to have them be like, you know what? Hey, fine.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll add a touchdown here, and then I'll take my, you know, keep my hat on in the press conference.
Bob, what's the highest you'd play the total?
63, and it went from 61 to 63 in the last couple of minutes after I released it. So
okay.
63 is good. I think it's going to be more like 69, 70 points is what, you know, my ratings project. And Colorado State has a decent pass offense. They, you know, now they've got their got a new quarterback who doesn't take, you know, Clay Millen was a quarterback last year and he took 50 sacks. I mean, he's, you know, the pass game's fine if the guy just doesn't take sacks. And they're bringing in, they finally benched him last week and Fallon Nicolosi came in and did a really nice job 2 weeks ago, in their opener against Washington State, throwing for 210 yards on 20 passes. One of them was a long pass, but even without the long pass, his numbers were still good. And I think, you know, Jay Norvell has proven himself to be a good offensive coach. And Colorado, you know, their defense, great against the pass, terrible against the run. I don't think Colorado State's going to run a ton.
All right.
But I think they're going to be able to throw well enough to, and tons of possession. Both teams speed it up. So
all right.
I think it's going to be a lot of points.
We got 60 seconds here. Give us one more, Bob, if you would.
Yeah, I like Atlanta in the NFL. I think they're still +1. I really said +1.5. I think it's still +1.5. Yeah, +1.5. Now they're -1.5. Well, that's sort of thrown off because it went back and forth. Now it's a lean. You know, sort of a lean on Atlanta and -1.5. You know, Ridder tends to throw underneath stuff, and Green Bay's got sort of a passive defense. So I think that underneath throwing is gonna help Atlanta. It plays into what Atlanta likes to do offensively. And the Packers do not stop the run very well. And that's fine because the Falcons are a good running team. They were fourth in expected points added per run last year. They should be able to run the ball. I just, you know, and the matchups, I think, are good here. So I like Atlanta. Now they're -1.5. So it's not a best bet anymore, but +1.5 they were. But that line's gone back and forth. You might be able to get it. If it's -1 or better, then it's worth a play. Certainly a bigger play, but at -1.5, a lean on Atlanta.
All right. Colorado State over and a lean on the Atlanta Falcons. Bob, appreciate you coming on right after release and stuff. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Dr. Bob Sports, Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. The great Dr. Bob Stoll. Chris Felica, we can call him the great too. The Bear from Fox Sports, Bear Bets Podcast. He's got college football thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada. Look at that. Bar Canada live at the D here at in downtown Las Vegas. By the way, I have a tennis play today. We easy peasy winner on Sophia Kennan as an underdog yesterday, +115 in San Diego.
Told you not to sweat it.
Today, going over 21.5 games in the Kennan-Emma Navarro match. Emma Navarro playing the best tennis of her career, beating Maria Sakkari last night, late night in a third set breaker. I've got the Navarro-Kennan match to be a really good, hard-fought match tonight. I'm going over 21.5 games late night in San Diego. He is the Bear. You know him from back in the day during ESPN's College Game Day heyday. Now he has taken his trade over to Fox Sports, where he is the host of not one but two podcasts, the Bear Bets Pod, both in pro and college football, and, of course, a staple on their college football Saturday broadcast. It's Chris Felica, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. I didn't stay up last night and watch that tennis, but
great.
San Diego's just a great place. Just great people out there, and just a place that I haven't been to in a while, but looking forward to it. You're kind of being conflicted today, aren't you? You got Sophia Kennan versus Danielle freaking Collins.
No.
A tough one for you.
No, Kennan's taking is playing Navarro. Collins is.
I'm sorry. I thought they were on the same side of the bracket.
No, Collins is taking on Krejcikova. Now there could be a conflict in the finals. That's for sure. Yeah,
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't want to stir trouble up, but and maybe you can't go there. But why are you not doing your show from the Circus Studio? I'm sitting here. How many tunes? Let me clear my throat. Going on in the background. I'm like, they got a perfectly good studio at Circa, and like you're sitting at a bar with like music and slot machines going off in the background. Like, huh? I don't get it.
I was.
Who did you offend in your previous life?
No comment. I don't know. I must have offended somebody.
It feels like you're getting sent to like the kiddies table or something. You're like serving out a punishment.
I am at the kids table. By the way, can I just thank you on a different note for reminding me that tonight is Rosh Hashanah, because you have prevented me from getting all kinds of static from my mom. So I will remind you reminded me to call her today. So thank you very much. And to those to whom it applies, Happy New Year. How about that? Thank you, Chris.
You're quite welcome. And I will say the only reason I knew that was because I'm on a nice big large group text chain with a bunch of Miami alums, and they were bringing it up about the game being last night and bringing up the holiday. So I figured once I heard about that, I'm like, let me wish my friend Gil a happy New Year.
Thank you. By the way, I'm laughing because Kelly, Mr. FSU over there, as soon as you said a bunch of Miami alums, he's like shaking his head like, oh yeah, Miami, sure. That's got to be them. All right, let me just start where we brought this up with Bob, or he brought it up, and then I riffed on it. The Jay Norvell comment, again, you know, when I'm around adults, I take off my glasses and my hat. Like a real shot at Dion and maybe Dion's mother, quite frankly. This is just pure idiocy, isn't it? Like, I'm not overstating that.
Yeah, it is, because you're a team that doesn't need any additional motivation to score a point. Look, we saw against Nebraska last week, them punch in one late, and where they would just basically could have run the clock out and taken any. This is a team that's out for respect and legitimacy, and people keep doubting them every week and giving them fuel to the fire to put up as many points on the board as they can. And now you've just kind of gone in there as like an unnoticed team off of an idle week and a week one blowout loss. And now you spice things up and you have them on full alert. Because the truth of the matter is, if this was a normal team, Colorado, like this would be the ultimate like sandwich spot.
Sure.
You had the big upset win over TCU at the start. You had the win over Nebraska last week in your home opener. And you got Oregon next week. This would have been like the ultimate time to just kind of sneak in, ugly the game up. Maybe it's a 10-point game in the second half and it's kind of competitive. But now there's going to be no shot at that. I actually agree with Bob's play there on the over, because I'm curious to see what the Colorado team total is. I don't think they're going to stop scoring.
I'm so locked in. As again, I mentioned, I went to San Francisco on last Friday. I made sure my flight came back before kickoff of the Colorado game last week. Like, I'm scheduling flights around them, and it's the only team where I'm grabbing the opener, right? It was 2.5 against Nebraska. I was like, now that didn't end up being any better than what ended up being the spread. But I was like, grab the 2.5. Last week for this, I have Colorado -21 in this game. Next week, -14.5. I grab every one of them because I just think this is a chronic thing. You have no bet on the side. You're not touching it at the current line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm staying away. But I will be curious to see, depending on the result this week, how that number moves, because your number of 14.5 will probably, if you grab the 14.5 against Oregon, I can only imagine that number is going to go down.
Yeah, I think so. All right, what do you love best this week?
Not the best slate in the world in terms of games that you've got. You've got like, I think it's like 15 of the 23 top 25 teams are facing either an FCS team or they're favored by 24 points or more. So it's not a lovely slate, but I found a couple of things that I do like. One of those big favorites who now is unranked is Texas A&M. And normally I would not want to be playing a team that went on the road and gave up close to 50 points coming home against a really bad UL Monroe team that scored 41 points, I think, this year. But I think if you watched that game last week, as I did, A&M was so sloppy. Defensively and special teams allowed Miami a bunch of chewing plays. I think practice will probably have been wretched up a little bit this week, especially with a subpar team coming in. Normally, this would be like, I think, like a Bluebird type atmosphere, and fans wouldn't be enjoying it. But I think A&M in that SEC West still has some hope, with LSU already having a loss and Alabama having a loss, and now they have a loss non-conference as well. I think there's still an opportunity for them in the SEC West. I think A&M is going to come out, and the shutout is very high on the bingo card for this week. I do like A&M laying the 36 against the old Warhawks there from Monroe.
Okay, A&M for Chris Felica on this. By the way, Did the Texas-Alabama outcome surprise you last week? Were you shocked by that? Did you buy into what Nick Saban is saying that no, this the future is now. This is still all about this season. Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I wasn't shocked. I guess would not be. I was not shocked, but I should say this. The thing that shocked me was that I had to watch the game when I got home. Fortunately, I DVR'd it, but there was no fluke involved.
No.
The shock was that Texas was better.
Yes.
At quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, front seven. The fact that Texas had the better team and it was clear and obvious and it wasn't like a go on the road fluke, late field goal win, turnover. The shock was that Texas was the better team, and they are. I never wanted to fully buy in on Texas until I saw it. But I think what we saw on Saturday night makes them definitely a national title contender now.
Wow, national title contender, go that far.
Yeah, no, you look at the Big 12. Who's going to compete with them in the Big 12? Oh, maybe that Red River game in a couple of weeks is going to be fantastic. But look at the odds to win the title. I think they're now the third choice with Florida State at 10-1.
What besides A&M do you like?
I took Illinois plus 15 against Penn State. I mean, there isn't much to like about what we saw from Illinois in the first couple of games. They probably should have lost at home to Toledo. Never in the game in Lawrence. But there's something weird about conference road games, whether it's Penn State this week, LSU this week, Tennessee this week, Florida State this week. You go on the road and you face an unranked team in a conference road game. Crazy things sometimes happen where you just kind of struggle because you've been playing a couple of non-Power 5 teams, Group of 5 teams, FCS teams, and now you're rushing it up against a legitimate team. And Penn State, I mean, Aller is a great quarterback, but again, it's still your conference road game. Illinois still has some parts on defense to play with, and I would think after the way they looked last week, Bielma and that staff will have them ready to play. It's interesting, too, because, again, the players have changed, but the coaching staff is still there. You go back the last few years in Penn State's first road game of the year. Last year, they needed that comeback at Purdue where Brohm really helped them with the poor clock management. 2 years ago, I think they won 16-10 at a Wisconsin team that kind of wasn't like a typical Wisconsin team. I think they had a non-offensive touchdown in the game. That game was your only touchdown as well. And then the COVID year, they lost in Indiana. So the first road game of the year is not treating Penn State well. That's not to say that's the reason why I like Illinois here, but I do think the Illini get north of two touchdowns. Is the way to go.
All right. Chris Felica, the Bear. Again, the Bear Bets podcast, both college and pro version. College out on Thursdays, pro out on Fridays. Our own Will Hill, part of that as well. And Big Noon kickoff in Boulder. Yep. In Boulder, Colorado, where everybody is for the Colorado State game. Enjoy, Chris. Always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, two more quick ones before I go. Ohio getting 3 against Iowa State, and North Texas getting 5 against Louisiana Tech.
Bang. 2 bonus plays from
there. You go.
Thank you, sir. Coming back with Jason Weingarten under a cloud of smoke next on Baseball.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football's back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? Why, it's DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Daytime Degenerate. Hey, Gil, talking about the rule where you fumble through the end zone and the defense gets the ball. He goes, what if they changed it to both coaches meet at the 20 and have a jump ball? As a Chiefs fan, I feel like I'd be in trouble. Yeah, you probably would be.
Yeah.
Let's see. A lot of these sushi. The sushi thing is unbelievable.
It really is.
I said it one time. And what was your comment off air, Kelly? Would you like to share with everybody what your comment was off air as to why it had so many legs?
You got cranky about it?
No, you said I was childish about it. Is what you said?
Yeah, you were. You stood up. You stood up on that desk, and you were like,
"I've got stood up on."
You're like,
desk.
"I got the best sushi place in town, and I refuse to share it with anybody." It was very. It was.
I don't believe that's an exact quote. Quite frankly,
that's how I remember.
I resemble that remark. Bill Hooker, in a perfect world, Matt Brown would be attempting field goals while Kelly chugs eggnog on the sideline. Yes. Scott Weston, I heard you give the name of the sushi place a week back or so. Wasn't it Tutu Nakua Puka? By the way, Puka Nacua not practicing this week.
Yeah.
Right after I made the bet on him.
I know, right? Matt threw that out.
God, come on.
Making me feel even better about the Niners.
And R. Johnson. Gil, chances of Colorado being in the Labor Day lineup of games next season, 99.99%. As you said, the content is the best thing of 2023. Sure is. And last one, sports betting guy. A couple weeks ago, I was at a sports book in Blackhawk, Colorado, filled with CU fans 40 miles from Boulder. The book couldn't play the Colorado-TCU game due to a dispute with DirecTV / Fox. Just ridiculous. We do have to end like the TV distributor wars that are affecting fans who just want to watch football games. Spectrum and in the upper northeast part of the country too. The dispute with ESPN.
The regional network stuff is one thing, because like that happens all the time. But like we're, you know, almost every TV market deals with this, but what we have DirecTV in town here that doesn't get CBS right now, there's a dispute with. Like, how do you not get a major network?
Is that right?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Jason Weingarten joins us, everybody. He's at Spreadopedia on the old Twitter machine. He comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, a man who is very generous with his sushi spots in the Southland. By the way, Jason, who calls Southern California the Southland besides weathermen? Anybody? One person?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Never heard of it. Never referred to it as such.
It's only the,
I know.
That's great.
Kelly's dying because it's only the weathermen. I'm telling you.
Well, you know what? I got confused when I first moved out here to Vegas. It's like the regions where like I technically live in Paradise in Nevada.
Yes,
but
you
like
do.
You don't write that anywhere.
No,
like it's not an address.
The Southland. Jason, how you doing, man? How's you're a Colorado guy. You like me jump on the openers, don't you?
Yeah, this week I actually jumped on Colorado State, though, because it was such a big number. But, you know, Dion said yesterday they made it personal. Now I'm a little worried what that means.
That's going to be, he's like, garbage time will not be garbage time anymore. I'm gonna run this up. Really stupid move by Jay Norvell. He woke up a team that was just going to play it out and go on to Oregon, but not anymore.
I mean, I'm just like shocked you said that, because like I'm a known Colorado hater and I thought they'd be a disaster, but like I didn't insult Dion's mama.
No,
you know,
no, you did not. Not that
I just
I
said I thought the quarterback coach father son combo just never works out. I didn't say nothing about his mom.
You did not. We don't have you on record doing that. Let me
just for the record.
Do you have any college or pro football plays before we get to baseball? Anything besides Colorado State?
We talked about the Jets last time I was on. Looks like that's moving down to 8.5 from the 9.5. So wouldn't tell you to play that now. I just want to point out that's going the way I thought it would. And then I got some 49ers and teaser pieces. I'm going to that game. I'm a little interested in this game. You said you took a future on Puka?
Offensive Rookie of the Year, yeah.
What number you get?
Not a great one. 25-1.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's tough. The wide receivers, especially not being a first round pick, have a historically bad track record. I need a much bigger number than that.
I was target drunk. You got 15 targets.
You get that. I totally get that after week one. You know, you got to play the guys you like still. But such an uphill battle for any wide receiver.
For sure. Got to get on the field, though, every week. That's the problem already this week. Baseball today. I was talking earlier with Kelly about how just so awesome these races are, specifically for the last wild card position in the American League, where three teams are vying for two positions, and in the National League, we're four, and it might even be more in the end if the Cubs fall back. But right now, four teams vying for the third and final wild card spot. The Giants Giants who already controlled their own destiny, now with a one game lead in the loss column. Anything in baseball today, sir?
Yeah, a couple plays. So one thing I got to say, though, is that my season takes, I tend to end the season slightly earlier. I think it's like 0-5 the last 5 years, making money the last couple weeks of the season. So I've learned the hard way when to, kind of pull up on the stick early.
When to fold them. Yep.
Yeah. That said, I bet the Rays today -130. I like this. You didn't mention this matchup. If they don't win today, it's going to be a big, big win for Baltimore. This is about as must win as it gets in terms of the Rays wanting to win the division today.
Yes. Yeah,
I laid 123 there.
Yeah. The Rays beat the Orioles yesterday 4-3. It's a four game set. The Orioles need to win one of the four, now obviously three left, to win the tiebreaker with the Rays. If the Rays sweep them, then the Rays have the tiebreaker. But right now, the Orioles, two games ahead in the loss column, but they both have 91 wins. So really a one-game lead in the American League East, which is, by the way, I grew up an Orioles fan. This is why I never really could talk them up, because I always thought, and I'm on record as saying this on the show, I always thought Tampa Bay would win this division in the end. Did not bet it, by the way, for the record.
But the Rays have lost, you know, all their pitchers, Wander Franco. It's much closer than anybody expected it to be at this point in the season.
Well, I just feel like, you know, this is such a reminder of, you know, when the Orioles had that little offensive drought here recently. It's such a reminder of, oh, yeah, you can play 162 of these games. But in the playoffs, if you just have two games right at the start, right, you don't win your division and you have two games where your offense just disappears, it's over. It's so cruel. And that was just a reminder of that. And I just don't think the Orioles have the pitching for a postseason run. But you're right. That's a huge game tonight, too. And you're on the Rays.
Real quick.
Rays for me tonight.
Does the division price, does that attract you guys at all? Plus 185 on the Rays to win this division? It's a one-game difference?
Still plus 185?
Yeah.
Well, I might take that now.
I think I have a bigger Rays price from the first week of the season or so. I would like the Rays to win. I don't think they're going to.
But +185,
it would make me money.
+185 is pretty juicy at this point.
Yeah. I'd rather bet the Rays straight up tonight. So if they don't win, your 185 becomes much bigger tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. No. Good point. Rays -125 on the road at Camden tonight. What else did you bet? Anything?
I bet the Tigers, and that's not really a play on the Tigers as much as a fade of the Angels, which I just kind of tend to do more often than not at this point. And I have my eye on this Dodgers-Mariners game night. It's Bobby Miller versus George Kirby. This is a game I probably would have been really excited about to watch in the minor leagues about 18 months ago or 12 months ago. Now it's a marquee pitching matchup in MLB. But Dodgers, I was going to wait a little bit to bet the Dodgers, but I see the market starting to move. So I guess limits probably just went up on the game recently. So I see it's 106, 104. I think Dodgers probably going to move up a little bit throughout the day. Not much, but I'm on the Dodgers here. I just haven't bet it yet.
Jason, to the people who still now, you know, 15, 16, 17 games left in the season, who are still saying they want to bet San Diego now at really long prices to get to the postseason, 6.5 games out of a postseason position, but have the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball. To those people who are thinking of making such a bet, you would say what?
What's the price? I mean, what price are we talking about?
They had huge numbers on that. I want to make sure. Someone told me 75-1. Let me just double check that. But it's that kind of long price at this point.
I mean, it's interesting. You know, it's always a fun thing to consider. You know, and crazy things do happen the last couple weeks of the baseball season. I'd probably tell you, kind of make some money line parlays, you know, roll over kind of things. You're going to make a lot of money that way if the Padres do actually go on a run.
Padres not even listed at DraftKings, by the way.
They've done nothing all season, and you expect them just to kind of pump it the last 2 weeks and make playoffs. I think that's unrealistic.
Snell is the Cy Young Award winner, yes?
Yeah, unless he blows up, unless it's going to be Cole and Snell, unless somebody does something crazy at this point.
All right, 10 seconds. Most random thing you have a bet on this weekend is?
The European Golf Tour. I don't think I have anything that crazy going. Trying to Rosh Hashanah, not bet tomorrow. I'm going to be with the family.
Happy New Year, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy New Year. We're leaving the Mets here. Or not the Mets, the Marlins. Bunch of jerks. One went away from blowing the wind total under.
That's right. That too. Well, last salvo before he enjoys his New Year. Coming back, Kelly and I wrap it up next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Our picks page recapping all the best bets from guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have a top VSiN experts leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, and our betting splits lets you know where the money and bets are moving for every game. The betting splits page updated with DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options to become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D, part of the Circus Sports Empire. Derek Stevens, Empire. Would he like it if we call it an empire?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe I'll ask.
Derek's a man of the people.
Yeah, he might be like, that's a little much.
Yeah.
Empire.
By the way,
Felica totally doing me a solid by letting me know it's Rosh Hashanah tonight.
Yeah,
and I'm not even kidding you. I like completely forgot. And I could already, my mom would have called and she would have just been like, what do you mean you don't call your mother for wish her happy new year? Then I'd be like, I'm watching Prime. She'd be like, who is Prime?
Watching Prime.
So that's the whole thing.
How about I caught ESPN yesterday having to do a, like, this made me feel old, where they had to do a package, which is basically one, you know, a long feature story of what you see, long feature on Deion Sanders about, like, basically explaining to the kids out there why Deion is so famous. Yeah, I was like, oh, man, I feel old. Like, and the whole point of the story was like, hey, this guy is entertainment personified, like, ever since he was in college.
But you know what? Maybe this is you're actually hit on something. Like, maybe we shouldn't assume, right, that everybody.
I know.
When Deion Sanders was at Florida State, he was already just awesome, right? He ends up being the fifth pick and was the greatest first five picked in the NFL draft, maybe in history. There was one bust in there, by the way. It was Troy Aikman. It's 1989. Troy Aikman won. Tony Mandrich, who was the bust, was number two. But then it was Barry Sanders to the Lions, number three. Derek Thomas to the Chiefs at four. And then Deion at five to the Falcons. And Deion, in a day where flashiness wasn't really ingrained in the pop culture, just came out and was talking schmack from the first moment, chains everywhere. And he was one of these guys where a lot of people were like, whoa, what's happening? From day one, in a Falcons uniform, you're like, oh, this is a Hall of Famer, period. And then he ends up playing baseball at the same time. He helps the Atlanta Braves get to the postseason. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing athletic career. I mean, a lot of people will say Bo Jackson, but Deion Sanders, probably the best athlete I think I've ever seen in my life.
He's right up there. And it was just fascinating. I'm like watching this and you're like, wow.
Iconic American figure.
I guess you do have to explain to some 20-somethings out there, like,
yes,
why this guy was such a big deal.
By the way, Aaron Schatz is texting me right now. Normally I wouldn't say this on air, but Aaron Schatz, who was the creator of DVOA, was with Football Outsiders for so many years and is now at FTN because he still owns DVOA. So he still has it. He has famously come on this show for years, and he, you know, one of our running themes has been that he goes back in time. I think he's gone all the way back to 1981 now and has assessed every play of every game in the NFL all the way back to 1981, and the greatest team of all time throughout all these years, back to 1981, not of all time, but as far as back as he's been able to get the footage of every play, is the 1991 Washington Skins. So that was always a source of pride for me. Everybody else can go to hell because I know that's the greatest team, and Aaron Schatz backs it up. Well, he texted me about 4 or 5 days ago, and he's like, I have bad news. I have good news and bad news. The bad news is I rejiggered everything.
Oh, no.
And I got more granular. And he's like, the 2007 Patriots have now gone ahead of the 91 Skins. And I'm like,
oh, that's so much.
Nobody goes, but here's the good news. I'm about to redo the postseason of all those years, and I think the 91 Skins are going to go ahead. And he just texted me now, and he goes, good news, 91, Washington, again, the greatest team of all time.
There we go. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I will not be debated on this subject. Mark Rippon sacked 7 times all year. All right, week 2. Kelly, we can get to your picks. You have picks?
Yeah, we didn't. Oh, yeah.
What do you got?
I got picks.
We'll throw up mine as well, but what are yours?
Let's see. I am on the Chargers with you. I think that was the one we kind of identified early in the week.
We're guessing lines be on. Immediately.
Yeah. And look, it's looking like there could be no Austin Eckler. I get the whole... Actually, no, I don't get the whole... Like, haven't we gotten to the point the past few years, Gil, of like stop bringing up the West Coast early travel? Like, I think those like records
thing.
are not a trend, not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm just not a big believer. This is as much of a bet against the Titans as it is on the Chargers. And this Titans team, I don't think is very good. I think what you saw last week against the Saints is two teams that are going to be kind of below expectations this year. So, laying 3 points.
Why is this 3, by the way? Is this a Vrabel versus Staley thing?
I mean, that's my only concern on this game. Is the Vrabel versus Staley matchup. The Chargers' rush defense
Everybody plays football. Everybody calls football games like Staley did.
I
we all gave Staley Kelly so much crap for the fourth down stuff. Now everybody plays it like him. Mm-hmm. I get it. The rightful criticism of Staley is he's a defensive coach and their defense,
right,
with all that talent, got crushed last week. But Tennessee? What am I missing?
I don't know.
I don't know. What just happened?
It's like six people that just went into our control room.
Well, we better make these 4 minutes count. This might be the end.
We're not getting the plug pulled.
Go ahead before we get our plug pulled.
I did lay the points with the Giants when it got back to four. Chertoff threw us the curveball. What was that, 2 days ago? We were sitting here doing the show, and I'm like, whoa, why'd this just jump from four to five and a half, six, or whatever it was?
Was it him in the end?
Yeah, it was him.
It was him.
Oh, okay. I think it was a right ankle release.
Yeah.
But yeah, came back down. I'm laying the four. I think they're the team. Obviously, we made a lot. I was on the Vikings a lot last year, right? This Giants team, I don't think I'm as down on them as you are. But even here, like, I think the Cardinals are just going to be a fade all year long. I think this is it's a must win week two game, right, for the Giants. They're in that mode already.
It really is.
So I'm laying the four there. This Ravens Bengals, I bet the over. I don't bet a lot of totals pregame. We were talking about that. It's more in game of what I'll look at totals wise. I'm going over though. With all the injuries on the Ravens, Ravens team have all over the place, but the defensive side of the ball and then an offensive line, that might lead to Lamar more running than we see from him almost all year. Think he could be successful against this Bengals defense. And on the flip side, I just don't believe what we saw out of the offense in the Bengals week one, unless Burrow is way more injured than we really know about. I don't expect to see that. I think this Ravens defense is going to be pretty brutal all year. I think we could see some scoring, which we usually don't in a divisional game between those two. I know really smart people like Steve Fezzik on the other side of that. Sorry, Steve.
He literally just texted the second you said that.
I was like, one of us is going to lose. Yeah.
He's quoting Office Space.
Teaser of the week for me, Bills and 49ers. I love that teaser.
Bills Niners, you adore that teaser.
And I have the Niners tied in. I have the Eagles tied in with the Niners as well.
You want to give that teaser a big hug.
I really do. Oh, I really do.
Do you agree with Matt Brown's take about the Bengals and the Ravens on the side? He loves the Bengals.
If I had to bet it one way, it would be Bengals. But I'm not betting those two teams. I'm not laying 3.5 because that's where it is everywhere now, right?
Yeah, it's 3.5.
Yeah, I'm not laying 3.5.
Mine again, and I gave these out at the beginning of the show. These are, I got the Chiefs at -2.5 at the moment that Chris Jones announced that he signed. I bought it to the 2.5 at that point. It's 3.5 now, so I wouldn't play it, but I got the 2.5. My five contest picks are going to be. I shouldn't say contest picks because I haven't checked. Maybe there's a hook here that I haven't accounted for, and I did get to three on some of these. So
I had them pulled up.
Guessing lines. My first reaction: Chargers -3 at Tennessee, and then Seahawks +5 against Detroit. Me and Matt are oppo on that one. He doesn't like those Seahawks injuries. I am on the Giants -4. I did buy the Broncos down to -3 against Washington, but I'll play them -3.5 in the contest as well. And then I've got the Steelers. I bought them to +3, but I think they're probably +2.5. That's a contest play. I don't know 100%, but I've absolutely bet all of those. Those are all in the account as they are seen there. And I have a Bills Steelers teaser. Those are all bets in the account. As far as Survivor, again, I have four entries out of the five that I started with, lost on the Broncos last week. I think it's some combination of Bills, Broncos, and Giants. I have not wavered on them all week.
I only have my one. I think I've decided, and I'm rolling with the Giants.
Giants. One of my entries will just be an auto fade Arizona entry. Until they have a bye week, and then I'm going to have to make a choice.
And I get what Matt was saying. I think he made a good point right there. He's going with Buffalo. If you, for some reason, are in that same camp, I do think it's a good week to use Buffalo. Just don't think they're going to be that great this year.
I don't think they're going to be that great.
Yeah.
Or at least not great enough where I can... Listen, even in their greatest moments. Like, I lost Survivor 2 years ago when they had that 9-6 Jacksonville performance. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm already, like, not trusting them based on that trauma. So, yeah, I'm going to use them maybe on two entries this week and just hope that Jimmy G and the Raiders don't pull it out of there you know where.
I want to get the Giants out of the way. Let me pick up that one. Get them off my board.
Yep.
Bills, I still have enough belief in that I might want to use. I'll use further down the line.
But I won't. I didn't use Philly last night, and I won't use the Cowboys because in the Circa contest, there are Thanksgiving and Christmas considerations. That's what my buddy Tommy in DC wants to do, the same Survivor picks as me. And I'm like, dude, you're not in the circle one. Like, so you can,
yeah,
you can use in your small pool the Cowboys and Philly if you need to. So again, know the rules, know the quirks of your particular Survivor pool. Kelly, that does it for us. Appreciate it.
Football Fridays are awesome.
Oh, they're awesome.
What a great show.
Good luck with all your bets this weekend, college and pro. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.